From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, and it still is, despite the attempts of some people to change that, we welcome you to this hour of the Todd Starnes radio program, coast to coast on the radio and streaming online at toddstarnes.com. Todd is on the road today on his way to that great new Liberty University broadcast studio. He'll talk to you from there tomorrow. I'm Jeff Stein talking to you today from my home base at the 50,000-watt news and information blowtorch, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Waterloo and Cedar Rapids, Iowa, with accurate news and reasonable views. And we hope you'll weigh in on this coast-to-coast conversation by calling us at 844-747-8868. Same number you always use. It's 844-747-8868. We start this hour by going right to the Liberty University newsmaker line. And one of the great things about doing this program is Todd has such a tremendous team, whether it's Grace and Claire and Kyle there at the Mighty 990 KWAM, or whether it's J.P. Decker booking the show. And I'll get an email from J.P. saying, who would you like on? And I said, I would like to talk to Corey Lewandowski, former senior advisor to Trump 2020, well connected with the president. And lo and behold, it has happened. Mr. Lewandowski, thanks for taking the time to be on Todd's show. Jeff Stein talking to you today. How are you, sir?
I am great, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me on such short notice. I appreciate it.
All right. So the president spoke, President 45 and perhaps President 47, spoke at CPAC, and he was talking about go to my website and make some donations. And the last time I talked to you on this program, there was some game afoot to try to get some people up on the ballot in 2022. Talk a bit about these efforts, if you can, and what your role is.
Yeah, you bet. Hey, so look, here's what the president wants to do. He wants to make sure he is a force in the 2022 election. And what we're going to do, and just to be clear, the president, myself, have the exact same objective as Kevin McCarthy and Mitch McConnell, and that's to retire Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer from their leadership roles. But we have a different way about going about that. Look, we're going to go and we're going to find a candidate to beat Liz Cheney in the state of Wyoming. We're going to go and we're going to find a candidate to beat Price in South Carolina. I've already supported a candidate in Illinois against Adam Kinzinger by the name of Catalina Luft. She's a young Guatemalan woman who was born in this country, whose parents legally immigrated here. And the president and I have both already endorsed in Ohio's 16th congressional district against Anthony Gonzalez, a man who worked for the White House and Max Miller. So we're going to take our resources and our support, and we're going to put those squarely behind the candidates who believe in the America First agenda. And we're going to hold those candidates that don't believe in that agenda accountable, and that includes beating them in their primaries so that we can make sure we've got strong fighters in Washington.
I know that this is a unique time in American history. Donald J. Trump is a unique, pivotal American figure. But I did see many times people posting on the social media over the weekend comments like, can you think of a time when a former president could command this kind of a crowd, this kind of enthusiasm, this kind of respect? And of course, the answer is no. And then you add the fact that according to those who count these things, he lost the election. So usually someone who does not win re-election, they just kind of go off and collect their pension. This is a very different tact, but the American public is responding very differently than historically was the case.
Well, of course, because you've got a very different person in Donald Trump. You've got a different kind of candidate in Donald Trump. Remember, he ran as the outsider, and even when he was a president of the United States, he was still the outsider. We know the deep state didn't want him there. He fundamentally transformed the way Washington worked, and because of that, they can't stand him. So the reason he continues to have so much support amongst the grassroots and the people who care about this country the most is because they know that the system is broken. They know the system is rigged. And when they have a person who put his fortune and his own livelihood on the line to step up and run for office to make this country better, they respect that, And that's why Donald Trump is still the leader of this party.
Now, talk about Save America PAC, what it is, what your association is with it, and if I'm missing some pieces of this puzzle of how listeners to the Todd Starnes Show can join this effort, please fill me in.
So the best thing to do is you go right to DonaldJTrump.com. I mean, it is the official website of the campaign. It's the place to go if you want to make a contribution to help help our organization. Look, Save America PAC is the organization where small dollars, meaning if you want to donate under $5,000, which is a Federal Elections Commission rule, you go there, you make your contribution, and we're going to use that money to either A, give it directly to candidates who are running, or B, make sure that we are educating the American people on some of the votes of the people they are running against or the value that the challenges bring. And so the president has asked me to oversee what we call the Super PAC, the organization which can accept unlimited contributions that is all disclosed, but also gives us the opportunity to travel and maybe just maybe hold some additional rallies around this country in some key battleground areas to make sure that people continue to get to see President Trump and our message is not stifled by some people in the media.
We had a caller in the last hour, and a reminder, we're talking with Corey Lewandowski live on the Todd Starnes program, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd this afternoon. We had a caller in the previous hour who said what Donald J. Trump needs to do is to get together with some of these folks who have resources and build their own internet connections and platforms and let us know what we should, the kind of businesses that we should patronize and where we should go on social media. What sort of conversations have been had about, we know there's not going to be a third political party, but is there some infrastructure being built that might help get that to that goal of not having to worry about the elites and cancel culture?
Well, I don't want to get out in front of the president on something, but I can tell you this. We are very aware that big tech, who has a far-left liberal agenda, has used their technology against conservatives at every chance. We know that they canceled the president of the United States from Twitter, and there was no recourse to that. And we know that Section 230 of the government code needs to be reformed so that they can be held accountable. But that being said, we also understand that in order to be successful, there has to be a platform available that truly is not reliant on those big tech companies to run. And we saw what they did to Parler. They simply canceled them because they didn't like them. So I think, without getting too far out front, there's a lot of people looking at opportunities where the president could be on a platform that would not be the typical Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or any of the other social media networks that currently exist, for fear of him being canceled again. But let me also say this. You know, I've had a lot of time to spend with the president since he's left office. I was with him on Thursday. I spoke to him last night. He honestly, I think, is even a little bit relieved that he's not on Twitter anymore. You know, he doesn't have to weigh in on every single issue of the day 100 times a day. And for him, he is more rested than ever. He feels great. He looks great. And he is back into what I call the fighting capacity, the fighting shape that he was in 2015 when he was ready to take his fight directly to the American people and let them decide what they wanted. I see the same fire in his eyes every time I see him since he's left the White House.
And it's interesting you say that, Mr. Lewandowski, because I noticed it, or at least I thought I noticed it, and I heard other people say the same thing. When they watched that CPAC talk, 90 minutes thereabouts on Sunday, they said, wow, he really looks good. I mean, I have a feeling that you felt the same thing. It was really good to have him back out there again, espousing the same views he did 6 years ago, right after he made the trip down the escalator.
That's right. What were the issues that the president talked about when he came down the escalator, and what is he talking about now? Illegal immigration, the impact that China has on our country, not being beholden and reliant to other countries, not having to apologize for being the greatest country in the world, doing something very simply, which is called putting Americans first with an America First agenda. He talked about it 6 years ago when he came down the escalator. He executed that strategy while he was in the White House every single day by rebuilding our military and not holding us to be reliant on China for everything that they had over us. And we saw the impact during the COVID-19 pandemic. But more importantly, the work is not done. Look at how quickly Joe Biden has attempted to undo all of the successes of the Trump administration. In the first 45 days, Joe Biden, with the stroke of a pen, got rid of thousands of jobs in the Keystone Pipeline. We know that our energy costs are going to go up. Under the Trump presidency, we were actually energy independent and we were exporters of energy. That's all going to change. What else did Joe Biden do? An attack on Syria. When Donald Trump had to put 59 Tomahawks into Syria, you know, the members of the Biden administration were on Twitter criticizing for him, saying he didn't have the legal authority to do it. Then Joe Biden does it. Radio silence. There have been two different ways of covering a president. The fact checkers from CNN have all but disappeared since Joe Biden has come into the White House. And when Donald Trump was there every single day, 50 times a day, they're on TV, you know, stipulating things that weren't true or inaccurate. It's just amazing. The president's in a really good spot right now, President Trump is. And what we're going to see over the next 2 years, our Republicans are going to be exceptionally motivated to take back the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate, and they're going to do that with Donald Trump's help.
And as you say, the president, President Trump, no longer needs Twitter. He needed it to reach an audience. He now has that base, and he can develop his own way of getting to them. Last question, and you and I only know each other through the radio, but I do know you would never breach a confidence. You do talk to the president. Is he feeling the same way as he did? Ready for that fight again? In other words, anything that might have happened with regard to the election, that's in the rearview mirror, and now he's focused on 22 and then whatever comes next?
Well, that's exactly right, but we have to remember, and the president said this during his CPAC speech, if the state legislatures don't change the laws, then we're going to be in the exact same position as we were in 2020, which was, by and large, unelected bureaucrats or state Supreme Court members simply changed the laws and people didn't have to follow what the legislature was doing. So we need competent legislatures to review this, and everybody, whether you're a progressive, a moderate, or an ultra-conservative, should want and demand integrity at the ballot box every single time. Our democracy, our republic is too important for it. The president is ready. President Trump is ready. I've talked to him multiple times of putting that election of 2020 behind us, focusing on the 2022 election, taking back the House of Representatives and retiring Nancy Pelosi, returning the Republicans to a majority in the U.S. Senate, and then finding a candidate, maybe, we know who that's going to be, to run for president in 2024 and take back the White House.
And win a third time. You don't have to comment on that. Mr. Lewandowski, thank you so much. I always appreciate the conversation. You're generous with your time. Best of luck with the effort, sir.
Thank you.
Corey Lewandowski. And again, DonaldJTrump.com is the place to go for everything associated with the Save America effort. 844-747-8868. Weigh in on this conversation or anything that's on your mind. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Thanks for staying with us. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. You hear it coast to coast on all number of radio stations, also streaming online at toddstarnes.com. And you can always listen to the podcasts, which are appropriately labeled Toddcasts. You can share them, download them, play them. As they used to say, collect them, trade them with your friends, and you can do that at toddstarnes.com. Coming up just after the bottom of the hour, we're scheduled to speak with one of that great set of Republican freshmen in Congress, Congresswoman Ashley Hinson of the 1st District of Iowa. That is, if she's not needed on the floor to vote on an issue or something, try to keep Fancy Nancy at bay. That's coming up. And in our final segment, we'll take your calls at 844-747-8868. You know, when I got the email yesterday afternoon from Todd saying, hey, I'm going to be on the road going to that new Liberty University mobile broadcast facility, could you fill in? Certainly, I mean, I always want to do that because it gives me a chance to talk to you folks and hear what real people are thinking. But I then think about, well, what could I talk to you about? And there's something that I want to mention, and I don't know exactly where it goes. The current president of the United States, number 46, some write his name with an asterisk. I really love that. Have you seen that on social media where they'll say President Biden, asterisk? Asterisk. That's pretty good. Well, in any case, they're talking about how he has not been really, shall we say, swift of tongue lately. How his cognitive decline is on full display. Okay, first of all, this is something that was talked about during the campaign. Some of us talked about it over and over and over. I first started covering Joe Biden when he was running in the 1988 Iowa caucuses. I have talked to him up close multiple times, not in this most recent cycle because he was in the bubble, of course, got to protect him from real people, but I've talked to him several times over the years. There's a difference. Well, I'm a little slower, too. I got a birthday coming up, I guess, at the end of the week. It's not a milestone, but they all add up. All right, here's the thing. We talked about it before the campaign. There are a lot of people on the right in media talking about it now. And here's my suggestion to all of you folks who are making a big deal about Joe Biden's cognitive decline. Shut up. Just stop talking about it. Because the alternative is far worse. I have absolutely no belief that he is calling the shots. I fully believe he is lucid at certain times, and he's just doing what he's told to do because, you know, that's just the way it is. He wanted to be president. He wanted to be president his whole life. Okay, now he's got it. But if you, I mean, the Democrats set this up with Pelosi trying to establish the 25th Amendment Committee, right? Everybody thought that was in case Trump was reelected. No, it was to move Joe aside. And if you move Joe aside, look what you've got. Camilla Chameleon. If I did song parodies on my show, I would pull out the Boy George Culture Club Karma Chameleon and revoice it as Camilla Chameleon, because if you look at her history, it fits. All right, so if somebody wants to do that, you have my blessing. I can't sing. Well, I can sing, but very badly, so I won't do it. But if Joe is not in place, you've got her. At least Joe might have a few moments of lucid behavior to say, nah, I don't think we should go that far. He may not exercise that because he's just doing whatever he's told to do. But the point is, you're going to be far worse off with her there, unbridled, unlimited. That's the master plan anyways, to put her in that position. Let's not encourage it, for crying out loud. It's evident. We all see it. Like those Geico commercials about don't turn into your parents. No, we all see it. We all see it. You don't have to say anything. Right, we all see it. So there's nothing that has to be said. Because again, holy cow. President Camilla Chameleon? No, thank you, please. Stay tuned. Jeff Stein sitting in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome you back to the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast, on great radio stations like the one you're listening to right now, or online at toddstarnes.com. And don't forget, this is a three-hour radio program from 11 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon in Middle America, the Central Time Zone, noon to 3 East. You folks in the other time zones, well, you're used to doing the math to figure it out. And of course, there is the podcast every hour, separately posted. And you can download it, listen, share it, do all of that by going to toddstarnes.com. As I mentioned earlier, when someone like me gets asked to do the program, you get asked, well, who would you like to have on? And so I am going to use host prerogative to welcome to the Liberty University Newsmakers line my congresswoman. She is a first-term Republican from Iowa. She's Congresswoman Ashley Hinson. Congresswoman, thanks for being with us on the Todd Starn Show. How are you?
Well, good afternoon, Jeff. It's good to be with you, and excited to step out into the fresh air here in Washington, D.C., and get out of that Capitol for a couple minutes.
Well, you know, don't step in the swamp. It's all around you there. But I noticed something over the weekend as the COVID bill was being debated, and you spoke in favor of an amendment that you had put out there to strike Fancy Nancy's fancy subway. Talk about what you were trying to accomplish with that. You weren't just trying to cut the money. You had a better idea.
Yeah, well, I think it came down to respecting taxpayers and respecting our kids and trying to fight back against the swampiest, the swampy here in Washington, D.C. This was about putting students over subway. So I introduced an amendment to redirect $140 million that was included in that spending bill. And I want to be clear, it was a spending bill. It wasn't entirely a COVID relief bill for Speaker Pelosi's pet subway project. It's a project in San Francisco. Instead, I think that money should be going to mental health resources for kids. It is Washington poor spending of the worst kind, and it shouldn't have been in a COVID-19 relief bill in the first place.
And obviously, the votes were not there to carry the day on it, which was not a big surprise to you, obviously. But is it a matter? I mean, obviously, we knew how the vote would go. But this is part of what we've been talking about, isn't it? That there has to be a fight in a dignified, respectful manner, and to specifically point out the atrocities of the swamp monsters so that maybe there can be victories later on down the line. That's really what we're talking about here, isn't it? Exposing these atrocities and showing how things could be done much better very easily?
Yes. Well, and it's about pointing out the contrast there, Jeff. This is a common sense amendment that I had filed. Relief dollars shouldn't be going to a failed transportation project in California while our kids are suffering across the country. I mean, I'm a mom to two school-age kids. My kids got to get on the school bus this morning. They're in a classroom learning today. Meanwhile, we've got about a third of students across the country who are still learning virtually. We're seeing increasing rates of depression, anxiety, other mental health challenges among kids who've been trapped behind screens instead of getting that in-person learning and that in-person interaction. And so, again, this is about putting students over subways and prioritizing where that money is supposed to go and making it about relief and fixing the problems that we're actually seeing across this country.
Congresswoman Ashley Hinson of Iowa's 1st Congressional District. She's joining us live on the Todd Starnes radio program. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. And you have, and your fellow freshman Republicans have not just been shy and let's just sit in the back and kind of, you know, be quiet for a few months or half the term. You folks have hit the ground running. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, you introduced the very first piece of legislation among your colleagues. Some of the priorities that you have advocated so far, only what, 2 months into your 24-month term?
Yeah, well, I started off talking about my kids were able to get on a school bus. So many kids across the country are not right now. And I think parents are at a breaking point, our students are at a breaking point, and frankly, taxpayers are at a breaking point. I mean, we're spending so much money on these relief packages that are not really relief. And so what I did was introduce a piece of legislation called the Reopen Schools Act that would actually put some lanes on funding that Congress appropriated to reopen schools with safety measures in place. We know that safety precautions allow our schools to reopen safely. $54 billion was a part of the bill in December before I was even in office. This new monstrosity of a bill that passed last week had $130 billion in it, a very small amount of that. I think 5% was supposed to be spent this year, so that's a whole other story. But we want to make sure these funds are being actually used as Congress intended, so that our students and our teachers can get back in the classroom safely and quickly. And I think it's important to point out the vote for the funding to be used on safety measures was bipartisan. Democrats voted for it. And they all voted down this bill three times now. Schools can reopen safely if the right precautions are taken. Iowa is proof of that. Our schools are open. Iowa should be a model and a roadmap for the entire country. And so that's what I'm working on, trying to put some qualifiers on that, making sure that if they don't use the money to reopen, they don't get it.
So there was a study that I got an email on today. You may have had it brought to your attention that suggests that Iowa is the state with the fewest coronavirus restrictions. And it has to do with wearing the face mask, and it has to do with health checks at restaurants and schools and everything else. Some of this just seems common sense. You look at what's being done in our state and so many others, Florida, another tremendous example, obviously, and the success is evident. Are these Democrats just so beholden to the old school thinking or the teachers' unions that they just can't do what's right for their constituents and for the people in their districts? I'm missing something here, I think.
Yeah, no, this shouldn't be about politics, Jeff. It's frustrating that it seems that there's this resistance to working together to reopen schools, which makes no sense. It should be a bipartisan issue. I know I'm hearing from parents and students who are struggling, and they're back to school in Iowa. So we know there are people across the country who are in that same boat. This is a way to help them. And it's really sad that the Democrats in Congress are refusing to come to the table on this. I would say to anyone listening today, if you want to see students get back to class, you want to see life get back to normal for our young generation, we launched a website. Go to openusaschools.com. We can work together to address kids' mental health in this country and get kids back in school. And that's what this is about. Our kids should not be the political football here. And they keep moving the goalposts on it. And it's just setting the bar lower and lower when it comes to our kids' mental health and education. And it's just really unfortunate. And it's clearly not common sense, Jeff, which, as you know, is what I focus a lot on here in D.C.
All right. And so as we conclude this conversation, I'll ask you to repeat the website again, but also so that people don't get the idea, this is not just let's bash on the Democrats. I mean, you have reached across the aisle in your political career back in the home state, but also in Washington already. So, I mean, basically, this is not just gang up on those with a D by their name.
Right. And Congresswoman Axne and myself and Congressman Feenstra and Congresswoman Marionette Miller-Meeks from Iowa, our entire Iowa delegation is working together to try to make sure we're getting more vaccines to Iowa. We've been a loud voice for our state, and I can tell you this, I'm going to continue to be a loud voice for things that make sense for Iowa, and especially when it comes to our kids. So, again, the website is openusaschools.com, and we would love to get kids back in the classroom so we can continue to move forward and make sure our kids don't fall further and further behind.
Congresswoman, always a privilege to talk with you. Thanks for taking the case nationally today on the Todd Starnes radio program, and best of luck keeping up the good fight.
Thank you, Jeff, and we'll talk soon, and thanks to everybody for listening today.
OpenUSAschools.com was the website she mentioned. Congresswoman Ashley Hinson joining us from the 1st Congressional District of Iowa, and she was there in the swamp, and obviously, I guess it's what Nancy Pelosi was trying to filter through in the delay in there, right? Because I heard a delay before she could hear my question. So apparently, Nancy's got her finger on the button of everything, trying to delay a good conversation. OpenUSAschools.com is the website that she mentioned. And get past the splash page and you get all sorts of good information. All right, we have one more segment for you here on the Todd Starnes program, and let's bring it home strong with your comments about anything we've talked about today, or even if we haven't talked about it and it's on your mind. This is your chance, 844-747-8868. Again, 844-747-8868. Todd is on the road today. He'll be back with you from the Liberty University broadcast facility tomorrow. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the final segment of the Todd Starnes program for this Tuesday. I'm Jeff Stein, sitting in for Todd today. He'll be back tomorrow. Still time for you to join the conversation at 844-747-8868. Again, 844-747-8868. We've had kind of an overriding theme, if you will, on the program today. It's things just happen, right? I mean, we don't necessarily have a plan. It just depends on how the conversation goes. But the theme, if you will, is there are an awful lot of folks in this country who have been tuning out because the swamp dominates, the East and West Coasts dominate. People who think they know more, claim to know more than you do about your own well-being, they tend to dominate. And most of the rest of us are just frankly busy trying to earn a living. We're just busy trying to make our way. We're trying to get our kids in school. We're trying to, if we're a business owner, make a payroll. All of these things, right? I mean, we're just trying to get along. And what I find tremendously interesting now, and this is so far one of the real hallmarks of what we're going to call, for lack of a better phrase, the Trump era. All right. We are finding people who say, you know what? We do have a voice. You know what? We can take over a political party by putting in someone that we want to have lead us with real leadership, as opposed to the same old swamp monster stuff. It is not a secret that the 45th and perhaps 47th president of the United States remains tremendously popular. It's because he reached real live citizens. That's what's been missing about so much of this. In our past segment, we spoke with Congresswoman Hinson. Last hour, if you were with us, if not, check out the podcast. We talked with Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. And again, they're simply standing up and pointing out all of this money is going for various things like failed subways near San Francisco that just happened to be in the district of the Speaker of the House. And yet, we don't have schools open uniformly across the country. We do in a lot of places. I mean, this is the thing where I live. Schools have been open. We've been face-to-face. We've taken care of business. I started this program nearly 3 hours ago by telling you that I did a radio broadcast for my home station at a farm show. And you've got real good people who literally feed the world going up and down the aisles trying to figure out how to make their jobs and their lives better, how to more efficiently produce crops, how to, without being told by the government, diversify their energy by having geothermal or solar panels. We don't need the government forcing it down our throats. This is free market. We'll do it if it's best for us. One size does not fit all. And certainly all the liberal enclaves who come up with what they think is best for all of us, that may work in some limited areas of the country, but it sure doesn't speak to those of us in the heartland. And by heartland, often we think geography, but it's not. If you're listening to this program from one of the skyscrapers in New York, or you're stuck in a traffic jam in Los Angeles, you have the heart of someone from the heartland. You may just be misplaced at the moment. I mean, your host on this program, Todd Starnes, lived in New York for a number of years for work, but do you think he ever left being a member of the heartland and having the values? No. And so what is so wonderful about this time, it is a frightening time with regard to what those people in Washington are trying to do to the American way of life, but if any good is coming of it, it's the fact that people are waking up and not being afraid to take some action. Now, let me be again very clear, as I try to be every time I have the pleasure of speaking to Starnes Nation through this microphone. I am not talking about storming a building. I am not talking about stooping to the tactics that others do. I'm talking about taking steps that you can take That's what everyone says. All right, you all talk about it. What do we do about it? Okay, here's what you do today. If you were angered by the story about Dr. Seuss books not being printed anymore and potentially then being pulled from library shelves or store shelves, get on the phone, call the library, tell them you want your Dr. Seuss books on the shelf, please. Call the school. This is Reading Across America Day in honor of Dr. Seuss's birthday. Of course, now we can't mention Dr. Seuss. Then mention Dr. Seuss. Call the school and say, we'd like to have those Dr. Seuss books back where they were, if you even thought about moving them. Some may not have moved them, but again, you know, the talking points came down and good little liberals might say, well, you know, we don't know what the problem is, but if the big media tells us it's a problem, you know, we better fall in line. No, call. Call your state representative because they can do a lot. Tell you a quick story before we go about where I am here in the state of Iowa. You've got the Regents institutions, the State Board of Regents. They run public institutions. And one of the three said, well, virtual commencement again this year. Make the third straight one. And a second one said, we're going to go virtual commencement. Third one said, well, we'll let you know in March. So a Republican lawmaker by the name of Bobby Kaufman, because we need to give credit where credit is due, Representative Kaufman introduced a bill in the State House that said Regents institutions must offer an in-person commencement option and allow those graduates to be able to invite members of their family to show up. Put it in the legislature and said it's a one-time thing. It's only for spring 2021 because, by gosh, we need to get back to normal here. This is silly. You liberals who are running these institutions, trust me, I worked as a college professor for 25 years. I know whereof I speak, whether it's a private or a public institution. Sometimes the private ones are worse, frankly, unless you pick the right ones, like the ones you hear about on this program. But what happens? He introduces this bill that says, nope, you've got to have commencement in person. And each one of the three yesterday caved. Each one of the three said, upon further reflection, not at all in response to a threat of law, we're going to have in-person commencement. If you want to be virtual, be virtual. You want to be in person, be in person. How did that happen? It happened because people talked to a lawmaker who introduced a resolution and all of a sudden change happens. You have power. You have a voice. Please continue to use it. I'm Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks so much for being here. This is the Todd Starnes Show.